Shalom. This is Kathleen Pearl. It's September 12, 2018. This is the day after Rosh Hashanah, the blowing of the trumpets. We have entered into the days of awe and to the high and holy day of Yom Kippur. Today I want to talk to you a bit about this season. This is titled, The Rod of Moses. The Rod of Moses. And I'm going to give you several explanations on what the rod means in this season and how we're supposed to approach this, because God is in times and seasons. So the word canon, which is the scriptures, and we're going to go to the Word of God, the canon of scriptures. The word canon in Greek means a measuring rod or a reed. It is very similar in Hebrew also. It signifies a rule, a standard. Hence, the canon consists of the books of Scripture considered worthy to be included in the Holy Scriptures. All right. Selby and West, and this is taken from Foundations of Pentecostal Theology by Duffel and Van Cleve, put out by Life Bible College. I've taught it out of this book for many years. It's excellent. Excellent. The canon of scriptures was developed, and I'm paraphrasing some of it and giving direct quotes, were only those writings that were proved useful for faith and worship. It was determined not so much by rabbinic or church decree, this is important, as by the intrinsic merit of such separate books and its reception by the worshiping community for the inspiration of or edification it offered. I'm going to skip down. Ecclesiastical Councils, direct quote, did not give the books their divine authority, but merely recognized that they both had it and exercised it. All right, let me say that again. The Ecclesiastical Councils did not give the books their divine authority. They recognized that they both had it and exercised it. In other words, that scripture was by divine inspiration and these books qualified. Let us look at the canon of the old scripture, which is at the foundation. There are many subjects about and many topics about the canon of the Old Testament, but I would like to quote from Exodus chapter 17, tells of the victory of the children of Israel over Amalek as Moses' hand were held aloft before the Lord. So the victory as Moses holds up his hands in verse 14, and the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, Exodus 24, 3 and 4. It records the writing of God's words and judgments. Quote, and Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments. And all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord has said, we will do. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, there's an accounting of Moses writing the law. And it was to be kept and read to the people of Israel every 7 years and on the what year of Jubilee, according to Leviticus 27. And Moses, quote, wrote this law and delivered it unto the priests of the sons of Levi. And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the Feast of Tabernacles, when all of Israel has come to appear before the Lord your God in the place which he shall choose, you shall read this law before all of Israel and in their hearing. Verses 9 through 11. This is the beginning and probably marks the beginning of the Old Testament canon or rod. Now we're talking the rod of Moses. And it came to pass, when Moses had made an end of writing the words of this law in a book, until they were finished, that Moses commanded the Levites, saying, take this book of the law, and put it inside of the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against you. Deuteronomy 31, 24 and 26. And Moses' successor Joshua also wrote these words in the book of the law of God, Joshua 24, 26. And Samuel recorded the events of his day in the book of 1 Samuel 10, 25. Let's look a little closer at Deuteronomy 31, 24. And it came to pass when Moshe had made an end of the writing. Let's look at the word writing. It's katab, which means to write, record, or enroll, to inscribe, to engrave, to write down, to record. Writing the words. Words are dabar. The speech is the utterance of this law, Torah. Okay, let's look at the definition of Torah. Law, direction, instruction. Instruction, direction, human or divine. Body of the prophetic teaching, instruction in the Messianic age. Body of priestly direction or instruction. Body of legal directives. B, law, law of the burnt offering, law of special law, codes of law. C, custom manner, the Deuteronomic or Moses law, a precept or statute, especially from the Decalogue or Pentateuch, the law. So the law is a rod of instruction, actually. In this book, which is Sefer, you need to be familiar with this term as it's referred to. The book is the Sefer. All right, so this rod of the law is a book of instruction, and we are to look at it and be corrected by it. So let's segue over to this time of the days of awe. There's a lot that you can see about this season, the season of Teshuvah, which began with actually a little one, and continues through for 40 days until Yom Kippur. And the reason is that for 40 days that Moses was upon this, tablets receiving, he was up on the mountain, getting a second set of tablets, and then returned to the camp on Yom Kippur. And Moses' face, when he returned, was shining with radiance and wonder for the coming new covenant, which was prefigured in the rituals of the Day of Atonement. Okay, the first covenant was over the deliverance out of Egypt, and then the 40 days Moses was on the mountain and came back. And the children of Israel were already setting up golden calves, mammon worship, and their idols and their gods that they brought out of Egypt. And Moses broke the Ten Commandments, if you remember the story. And then Moses went up on the mountain again for a second set of 40 days. And we see the first indication that the book of the Torah, the instructions, are the book of life. The book of life that on Rosh Hashanah is supposed to be opened up. And this comes from this book of life is when Moses asked to be stricken from, quote, the book you have written if God would not make an atonement for his people. Exodus 32, 32, and 33. The willingness of Moses to be stricken from the book on the people's behalf is a powerful image of the mediating role of Yeshua, our Messiah, in Hebrews 9:15. Therefore, this season that we're coming to is a season of Teshuvah, repentance. It is a time where we're to examine ourselves, that we understand, as it says, the message of the central book of the Torah, which is Leviticus, is that since God is holy, we must be holy in our lives as well. And this means conscious of the distinction between the holy, the sacred, and the profane, between the unclean. And so you are to distinguish between the holy, HaKodesh, and the common, HaChol, and between the unclean, HaTameh, and the clean, HaTor. Leviticus 10:10, and see also Ezekiel 44:23. Just as God separated light from darkness, so we are called to discern between the realms of the holy and the profane, the sacred and the common, and the clean and the unclean. And this was an excerpt from Hebrews for Christians. This means that you are to be a holy people set apart for me, and whatever does not line up with God's teachings and instructions, we are to teshuvah, repent and turn. Shuvah means to turn around and not go that same way. We've gone astray, and that we're to come back and to walk in the way, the ways of